Western cultures have a long tradition of celebrating their history through historic preservation, a practice that tends to marginalize the contributions of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Island populations. A forum this weekend at the East-West Center with the topic Identity and Place, Celebrating Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage in the Hawaiian Islands, hopes to alter that imbalance. And as Maynette Benham, Chancellor of the West Oahu, told me yesterday, organizers are recruiting Hawaii high school students to tell their stories on video.
The forum that we're holding is really giving an opportunity for community members, and in particular because we've added the youth voice to the forum, give folks an opportunity to talk about how place, how where they live, the pae'aina in which we exist, how that really defines who they are and what their responsibilities are.
With a goal toward naming additional historic sites, is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And getting the youth component into this conversation is really important because they have much to learn and they have much to offer. And, you know, as we all begin to age, it's really important to know that when we're looking back, we have a lot of young people who will continue to look for those historic landmarks and preserve it because it's just part of our lineage, right?
What would be an example of one, Maynette?
Well, we are looking at Honouliuli, of course, right, which is now part of the National Park Service that's connected to West Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually running quite a bit of programming for our high school students to really learn about the history of that place. And many students who come to us, they have ancestors who were interned there.
Mm-hmm.
And these are histories and stories that they may have never learned, but it's also very relevant stories for the political situation we're in today, and it just gives students some sense of, you know, connecting historical events to current events and why they should know about this and why Honouliuli is important, and what they can do around immigration tensions in our community today.
One of the things that Honouliuli reminds us of is that not all of our history is particularly flattering to us.
No, absolutely not. And I think our high school students that we're working with through the Sea Rider Production partnership truly understand, you know, the complications of our history on this land. And as young people are really trying to figure it out, what does it mean to them? There are some of the digital videos that these youth have produced that will be shown and talked about,
mm-hmm.
which really does take a look at the complications they face around conservation, preservation, economic development, homelessness, health and well-being. You know, how do they understand those issues and still malama the place and historic landmarks?
But the whole idea of narratives that are underrepresented or have been underrepresented in
mm-hmm.
the past, why have they been underrepresented?
Well, they have been underrepresented in more of a public, I'd say, a public venue. They have not been underrepresented around the campfires in our communities, in smaller enclaves, where
mm-hmm.
we tell our stories often as a way of teaching generations, you know, our next generation of young people. I think it's never been something that has been part of the master narrative around the public narrative,
mm-hmm.
not it, because people have not thought of it as being relevant. But I think today, because we all know that diversity just makes us stronger, there's a real need and a real desire for folks to want to learn about each other and each other's stories, right? That's what I think.
I'm intrigued by your use of the term master narrative, but it kind of addresses the whole idea that history is written by the victors, and that people in charge tend to preserve their history more avidly than those who are not.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, I do want to go back to the mo'olelo of these places that these young people represent. You know, in school, they're taught the narratives of the ruling class, mm-hmm. so to say, right? But at home and in their communities, they're taught the mo'olelo of the place, of their families, whether, you know, it's a story of immigration from the Philippines or from the Pacific Islands or from, you know, other Asian-derived, you know, places. They learn those stories. And I think what we're trying to do in this partnership is to really elevate those stories as being vibrant places to locate knowledge and action and really show the importance of those diversities and how these kids have really been able to share these stories with one another to really attend to some really, you know, knotty issues about historic preservation, about landmarks.
Minette, when you say that they're, you kind of said in effect that they're still being taught the what you referred to as the master narrative in schools. Do you think that's diminishing?
I think there's a place, all things in balance. There is a place for the teaching of a variety of different perspectives of history. Mm-hmm. But there has been a long time in our schools of teaching one particular perspective. And I think now we're beginning to turn the corner and beginning to value different perspectives, mm-hmm. Whether it's historical perspectives, political perspectives, scientific perspectives. I think we are turning that corner and unlocking the door for students to really try to figure out, you know, sort of where, you know, what knowledge context or what knowledge wells they're going to draw on to answer today's problems. You know, with technology, and that's, you know, we're showing a sense of place and identity and culture through digital video mm-hmm. because they have access to a breadth of technology and information that, you know, neither you or I really had when we were at that age, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think schools are beginning to say, hey, they got access, right? So our job is to really help them to critically view these different perspectives because it's at their fingertips, right?
Well, the tools you describe as being now at their fingertips, the whole being able to shoot and edit video and create video narratives, it kind of, not everything has to become a text document.
So that's right.
It's becoming a different avenue of expression and learning.
That's right. You know, and what's wonderful about the videos that are going to be presented is that there's poetry woven into it. There are interviews of real, you know, salt of the earth community leaders and community workers and moms and dads. There is beauty in the photography. That's the landscape that's being shot. And there's just real critical commentary about some of the problems that these young people are seeing in their place, how they're learning about their place, and how they're feeling responsible for their community. So all of those critical skills that we're looking for our schools to teach, I think, are coming together through the advent of digital video.
Sounds as if information is being gathered that really hasn't been gathered in such a comprehensive way before.
Yeah, very systems perspective of teaching, isn't it? So I think it's really exciting that kids are really taking a look at multiple systems in our communities and trying to, you know, determine the relationships of how things work together or don't work together. It's a very different, it's a very different mindset and a very different way to look at the world and walk in the world.
Think it can change the world?
I'm banking on it.
Maynette Benham is the chancellor of UH West Oahu. She's part of a two-day forum at the East-West Center on Identity and Place, celebrating Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander heritage in the Hawaiian Islands. There's a screening this evening at 5 p.m. of videos made by 11th and 12th grade students enrolled in Waianae High School's Sea Rider Productions video production program. You can learn more about the event today and tomorrow on the Conversations Facebook page.